but I got a new Cadillac. No, I traded cars with my son. So let's let Ryan minister, brother. We should call you Minister Ryan.
He is.
'Cause he's praying for people. This is minister over the men's fellowship here, SALT, and he's going to pray us in.
Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Father, we thank you for this time tonight in your word. We pray that it would be anointed by your Holy Spirit, that the Ruach HaKodesh would go forth.
Hallelujah.
Across the globe. Lord, open the eyes and the ears of those who would hear this message. Draw them close to you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, grant repentance to those who need repentance, so that they would know your grace, so that they would know your mercy and your truth. Lord Jesus, we lay it all down for you tonight. We ask that your word would pour into our hearts and pour out of Pastor Sandy tonight. Anoint him through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
And the crowd went crazy. Okay, I'm just going to mention these cards and where they're from. Karen Bland and the family, they sent me all kinds of stuff. They're just so good. I just love them. And let's see here. Oh, and they sent a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Now watch this. I want her husband Paul to know I had nothing to do with this. I did not ask for a Valentine. So Paul, that's not my fault. Okay. Paul's her backup singer.
She's backup.
Yeah. And she made this thing of goodies. We got cocoa butter in it. This is one of your gifts for finding the scriptures coming from. Okay. And there was another card here. Here it is. Because I want to tell you guys about someone. This guy, this is Jeannie right here. She always sends me this great card. But she has her husband is a rapper and a poet. His name is Israel the Prophet. If you're ever on Facebook, or he also has a website. But I love gospel rap. But most of the gospel rappers don't do gospel rap. They're trying to fit in.
Right.
But his music is all for Jesus. So Israel the Poet, if you want to hear some real gospel rap, he has some great videos with him and his kids and everything. And this is Rosemary Jones. And she sent me a card. Thank you. No, thank you. And I would love for you to send me some of those tracks to pass out to people. Thank you for whatever you can send me. Please pray for my two sons to get saved. And so Pastor Ben, she left her address. So I'm going to give you this, and Pastor Ben's going to send those tracks to you. Absolutely. Thank you. And my friend Alan he's from Canada. He's the one that sent us the book last week, Pastor Ben. Okay, he's the one that sent us the book. And he also sent me, what did I do with that? He sent me a football card of me playing football, and then I lost it. Well, it's probably under my Bible. Yeah, well, it's up here somewhere. So anyway, he sent me this other book, which is very interesting. So he's the one that sent the book, and this is very interesting. I'll put this with my Egyptology, because I study Egyptology just because it was teaching me a lot about why people were doing things the way they were when they came out of Egypt. There I am, Pastor Ben, you see that? I was young and beautiful. If I took that helmet off, you would see one of the nicest afros.
You had hair?
I had beautiful hair.
What?
And but my helmet's on, so you can't see it, but I'm telling you. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate it. I hope you will like this book more than the other one. I do like this book, the other one, but I like all books. I'm a reader. I love books. I'm not one of those people that can read a book on the internet or, you know, that ebook, all that stuff. I can't do that. Okay, my notes. Are you guys ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Woo. I gotta do this, Pastor Ben, and I'm sorry that I didn't do this while we were waiting around. Hello, everybody out there, our family in S4C all across the world. God bless you. We have two great studies, one tonight, and then we have one tomorrow morning for Hebrew class. I'm going to erase this. I think we all know this stuff already. And I am going to write this right here. Okay. Okay, now watch this. Yod, hey, vav, hey. Who knows what that says?
What is that again, Pastor?
Yod, hey, vav, hey. That's Yahweh, right? Mm-hmm. That's Hebrew. This is a 10. This is a 5. This is a 6 in Hebrew. And this is another 5. Okay. Now this is... Someone did I was listening to a scientist today, and this is the first time this has ever been clear to me. Could you give Drea one of these? This is the first time this has ever been clear to me, Pastor Ben, because he gave it, because Niara, she taught the teenagers this, and she brought a video and everything about laminin. And I'm probably not even pronouncing it. Laminin, okay? And laminin is really the substance that holds our DNA together, okay? So without this, you know, it's what holds together your body, your whole structure of who you are. And that's what it's shaped like. It's shaped into the form of a cross. And so, but this scientist today, he was going over it and he did this. He said, laminin, the protein that holds the human body together, it looks like a cross. So you see that, that's what it looks like. Colossians 1:17 says, he is before all things and in him all things hold together. And he's absolutely right. Because in him, our whole bodies hold together, right? It's the form of a cross. Now, I'm going to read to you how it works, okay? Because he made it simple, and this is the first time I've ever really understood it. I thought it was amazing that it was a cross, but this is how it's structured in the body. It says 4 nuclear acids that are linked to our DNA chain. Sulfuric acid bridges hold us together in our DNA. They connect us together by every 10 sequences by every 10 sequences. So every 10 sequences, you get a laminate that is going to hold that DNA together. Then it's going to go 5 more sequences and then get a bridge of this cross and it'll hold that together. Then you'll go 6 more sequences and you'll get another cross that holds the DNA together. Then you'll go 5 more sequences and then it'll hold your DNA together with the form of a cross and a laminin, and then it'll hold together. Now this, once it gets to that, it repeats back to 10, then it goes to 5, then it goes to 6, then it goes to 5, then it goes back to 10, then it goes to... So throughout your whole body, the numerical value is 10, 5, 6, 5. So Yahweh is the structure of how you're built, right? So Yahweh, the structure of the sequence of how the laminin holds your DNA together is the numerical value of Yahweh as it goes sequence by 10, by 5, sequence of 6, then sequence of 5, then it repeats. And it goes all throughout your body. So in your body, you have Yahweh and the cross holding you together, okay? So it was the first scientist that showed it to me simply so that a football player could understand it. And I went, wow. I said, now I understand why Niara showed that to our teenagers in the class. So if you look at the next page, you'll see the numerical value of that is 10, 5, 6, 5. Then your sequence will start over. 10, 5, 6, 5, 26. And that's how the laminin holds your DNA together by sequences, okay? And so that kind of blew me away because I was just listening to doctors this morning. What is the title of this message, Pastor? Thank you. That's good. That's good. That's a perfect title. You know why? I don't want to alert people of what we have to talk about. And so if you had named it something else, it might would have, you know, alerted everything of some craziness. Mm-hmm. So today I'm praying, and then the Lord had me look at a couple of videos that different people sent me. And they were doctors, and I had listened to another doctor last week, and he made a statement, and I thought, you know, someone says something and it hits you, but it's kind of like, is that real? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was listening to a doctor last week, and he made this statement. He said, many people, many will die from the vaccine within a year. That's what the doctor said. Now I posted today from, it's a vaccine. It's a place they have a website. They track it to tell you how vaccines are doing as people are taking. So since January 22nd, 329 people have died from the vaccine. See, you're not going to see that on CNN, right? So you have 329 people and now this is not I wonder if this is true. They give you the names,
what?
How old they were, and when they died, okay? Oh. I put it on my Facebook today. So anybody can go to the site. You can see how old they were, some from 84 all the way to 27, right? And they took the vaccine, and then and it tells you how many days after they took the vaccine that they passed away. 329. You're not going to see this on CNN, but they keep charts of it. Now, if you go on my Facebook, you'll see it. It's posted. So I said, well, that's amazing. Well, why did this doctor say if the people who haven't died from the vaccine or hasn't affected yet, he said within a year, everybody who takes the vaccine will die. And I went, that's a bold statement to make. And this guy's a doctor, you know, this is like, but it went in my head and then it left, okay? So this morning, I listened again, but I didn't listen to everything he said. I just listened to that statement. But then I listened to two other doctors speak, and they start explaining what MRN vaccine is. And I said, first of all, they said it's not a vaccine. It has nothing to do with a vaccine, okay? So I wanted everybody from Soldiers of Christ to know, because there's a sister, her name is Sue, who's in London, and her pastor did a video to tell people that him and his wife were taking the vaccine, and he was encouraging his church members to take the vaccine. Now that's, to me, somebody who's completely out of touch with reality, because you should know that you're being lied to. But I want to clearly explain to you from two doctors, okay? And there are many others, like you said, you've sent me more, but there are many doctors that are trying to tell people what this is and not to take the vaccine, which is the same, which is the exact message that God gave to me when this first started and we went viral, okay? 6 million in overseas, and 4 million on this channel, and 2 million on our own channel. It went viral. Everybody heard Pastor Sandy tell you, this is what happened, and this is what the Lord told me. Do not take any vaccine. COVID is only a flu. You can take care of the flu the same way you always have. COVID is not a deadly disease, only if it's mistreated by certain people. Like, you got somebody who has COVID, or you have somebody with the flu and it's very bad, you put them on a ventilator, they're gonna die. So that's what they were doing in New York with the elderly. They were taking elderly people who are already having problems breathing because of congestion in the chest from the flu. And now you're gonna put them on a ventilator. Now they really, and then the health went down and they were dying, okay? So this is what the Lord wants me to do. He wants me to show you guys by reading exactly what these doctors said, and I'm going to read step by step so that you understand what a vaccine is and what the mRNA, not a vaccine, it's a, I don't want to use key words, it's a weapon. Yeah. It's a stage weapon to kill people, okay? But it doesn't do it right away, because if it did it right away, they would go, this is the reason, okay? So let's read what this is, okay? This is Dr. Lee Merritt and Dr. Andrew Wakefield. And like I said, do not take. So what is a vaccine? I'm going to explain to you guys how the interview went. It says, for you, it says, first, as a doctor, you recognize the virus. Then you produce the virus in a weaker form. You place that weaker virus in the form of a vaccine. The vaccine tells the body it's being attacked or invaded. The body produces protein spikes to make your immune system begin to work and fight against the virus. The next time your body sees that same virus, it already has an immune system ready to fight and kill off the virus. The protein spike is what produces the immune system, or the immunity, right? So this protein is what makes the immune system start to work and to kick up a fight against this. So the important thing is that this protein system that is in you, once you get a virus, your protein is going to develop, and it's going to develop an immune system, and your immune system is going to fight the disease, right? Okay, so that's what a vaccine is. If it's a vaccine, I take it, I put a little in you, and then your body is going to fight it, and now it's going to build up. That's what a proper vaccine is, okay? Now, what is an mRNA vaccine? The mRNA is not, this is what the doctor said, it is not a vaccine. It is a messenger RNA that connects to your H2 pathway to tell your DNA not to produce protein.
Wow.
So it gets into your system, and then it begins to replicate, telling your system, take this as a friendly invader. Do not produce protein, okay? So the mRNA tells your body not, it goes to the H2 pathway and tells your DNA not to produce the protein. There is no weak virus in an mRNA, quote unquote, vaccine. It is a messenger to your DNA that replicates, telling it not to produce a defense. This is a bioweapon against human beings. So what they're doing is they're giving you not full-blown AIDS. What's the other thing that you get before you get? They're giving you HIV because people were testing positive for HIV when they took the vaccines, right? And so what it was doing, it was killing their immune system, which is what HIV is, but they didn't understand why are these people testing positive for HIV? We're giving them a vaccine for COVID, which is the flu, right? But mRNA is not a vaccine. It has no virus in it. It's a messenger that goes into your system to start telling it how to produce, okay? Once you do this, you can't turn it back. Okay, turn over to the next page. What will the vaccine do to my body? It will tell your body not to protect itself from future invasions. This will create an autoimmune disease, meaning a virus will be coded when it enters you. The virus will be disguised as a welcome agent. Autoimmune disease means no cure, leading to rapid death. The next time you catch a cold, it will turn to pneumonia and quickly into death because your body is accepting it and it will not produce anything to fight against it. Okay? So therefore, it's accepting it. So the mRNA, all it's doing is killing your immune system so that the next time you get sick, your body won't fight against it and you'll die faster, okay? So basically, it's a weapon not to kill you now, but at a later time, when they push out another virus, a COVID thing like what we've had now, when they push that out into the air again, now nobody's going to survive because your bodies have taken this mRNA and the mRNA has told your body that if that COVID virus comes in, don't fight against it. It's friendly. Okay? So the history of mRNA experiment vaccine. This is what the doctor says. We've done these experiments before with mRNA, she said. She said, no animal has ever survived an mRNA experience. The animal was given the mRNA, then they would let time elapse until the mRNA went through the animal system. They would then give the animal a virus, and this would immediately kill the animal. This happened every time. This was called the immune enhancement experiment. That's what they called it. So this was supposed to enhance. They're running these tests with animals to see how to enhance your immune system. But what these doctors said, it was never an experiment to learn how to enhance your immune system. It was an experiment to show them how to kill the immune system so that you will not fight against the next disease, okay? And it says this was called the immune enhancement experiment. It was an immune destruction experiment, which is what they said. It says, why are they rushing this vaccine to humans? This is a two-part biological attack. Some people will appear to take the vaccine and nothing happens. But let me explain this. But once they take it, it's going to read and replicate in your, it's going to break through your DNA. So it's not changing your DNA to a Nephilim, okay? What it's doing is breaking through your DNA to change the way that it affects viruses so that your immune system is broken down so you can't fight against disease. Okay? This is what they're giving people right now. It says, why are they rushing to get the vaccine? It says, this is a two-part biological attack. Some people will appear to take the vaccine and nothing happens. The next virus that hits the body will kill them. Do not take any vaccines. How to protect yourself from the current strain that they have out. Chloroquine, is that how you say it? Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, vitamin D is the best thing that you can have in your body right now to fight against COVID, okay? Which is basically the flu. Zinc and another called Corsden, which is in my wife's mouthwash. I was like, wow, it's in here. So it does kill germs and it kills the flu virus. Okay, to learn more about Lemonin, go to Truth Music. Okay, so you have something about this on there. Okay, to understand more about this vaccine, I have those, and they're on a thing called BitChute system, and so it doesn't, they're still allowing people to put Truth up, okay? But you have to know and understand that what is going on now is an attack, okay? And now, understand, Bill Gates put $1.6 billion into Pfizer to get this out and to rush it to people. You understand? Johnson & Johnson has basically the same mRNA, and I'm gonna stop calling virus, shot to go into people to destroy their immune systems, okay? All it is an immune system destroyer, okay? It is just gonna tell your body not to protect itself. It's like getting HIV on a heavy level before you get AIDS. And when people got HIV, then it went into AIDS, and then the immune system was shut down and they died. That's what they're pushing, okay? I'm talking to each and every person that's in the body of Christ. Warn your people, do not take this vaccine. Fight against it as much as you can, because these doctors are telling you the truth. It is something that has been designed and planned to kill human beings. Depopulation is what Bill Gates said, right? Yep. And that's what and he even said we can use vaccines to help depopulate the earth, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know that now. The great news is, I don't think they have time for this to be in people's system long enough before the Lord takes us out of here. Even some of the probably Christians, because some Christians just aren't that inquisitive about what's really going on. I got a good church, I got a good pastor. We're teaching through a series about love, and you know, they never talk about anything that's going on. And so they don't understand, and they might be rushing off to get the vaccine. I hope that it doesn't kill them faster, but it's going to start working in their system immediately, because what these doctors says is once you take the shot, you can never return, your body will never return back to the way it was, because what it was doing is it's replicating. Mm-hmm. It's doing the same thing as what recombinant DNA technology. It's doing the exact same thing. Recombinant DNA technology takes a foreign DNA from an animal or a Nephilim, and it hooks with your DNA, and then that changes your whole being of who you are as a human being. So you no longer have the laminin and Yahweh running through your veins, right? So that's what they want to do at a later time. But right now, what they're really concerned right now is depopulation by using this. And they're saying, oh, if you take it, you're helping mankind to get back to normal. And the doctor said, if you want to get back to normal, don't take the vaccine. Take off your dumb mask, she says, and start hugging your family. So, and that's a wow. So praise God. Amen. All right. I want us to go to the book of Luke, chapter 2.
Your dumb mask.
She called it a dumb mask, and I agreed with her 100%.
They're trying to get you to wear two masks now.
You guys know. We all know. Everybody. Did you see the nurse that said, I walked in and they told us that next week we're going to have a big breakout, so they're going to lead all of our units on our floor, so be prepared. And she said, she said to her supervisor, how you know they're going to have a big breakout next week? And she said, she tilted her glasses down and said, you know what's going on. And she said, yep. She said, I'm hating my job. Because everybody knows they're being lied to, you know what I mean? And nobody wants to stand. I mean, Bill Gates and Fauci should be locked up and on death row right by now. Shot. Yeah, they should be on. They can't say that on. They, Pastor Ben. God, just get the whole church sued. Okay, now we're not going to shoot anybody. We just want them to go to jail. Let the judges figure out. All right. So I want you guys to keep this information, keep this, because this came from the interviews that I listened to this morning. And that's the information that I took down and made sure that it got to you. Okay, here we are in the book of Luke, chapter 2, and we're in verse 41. We're going to read this passage, and then we're going to see what really went on here so that you understand what God is trying to show you, okay? It said every year his parents went to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus' parents, for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him after 3 days. Okay? Now I want to make sure that says, they found him in the temple court, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, my mother wouldn't have said nothing, she would just start back.
Yep.
But they had good parents. It says, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. It says, why were you searching for me? He asked, did you know that I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now, what just happened there? Do you guys understand what just happened there? The parents of Jesus have left him and started on a journey, believing in their mind that who is Jesus? God in the flesh. They believe that God is with them.
The Jews.
Exactly. So, but they have to go 2 days completely, and on the third day, find him, okay? Because now we're early morning on the third day, okay? Because Jesus has been gone for 2,000 years, and now early morning on the third day is the beginning of the 3,000th year. So we're 3 days, because the day unto the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So they turned back and said, we thought we had God with us, but now the Jews will realize what? We don't have God with us. And so they turned back to go find who? Jesus. Yeah. This is not just a story about two parents that weren't paying attention. This is God prophesying to you that Israel is going to walk away from God, believing in their heart that they have God with them.
Yeah.
And so Israel today, they will tell you, we have God, we know the Torah, but they don't understand. They're on a journey without Jesus, so they're really on a journey without God.
Yeah.
Okay? When they shuv, repent, turn around, they'll go and find him, and he'll be in Jerusalem. Okay? So I want you to understand this only because the totality of the Bible is never about what you're reading. You've got to find out what is this really about, because Revelation 19:10 says the Word of God is prophecy. The Spirit of the Word of God is prophecy. I'm always trying to tell you the real story, okay? Read what's in front of you, but understand the real story. Now, when Jesus was prophesying to the Samaritan woman, he told her, all these things. And she said, I believe you are a prophet. And he says, if you know who was really talking to you, you would have asked me for living water, right? So she goes to her brothers and she tells them, I think I just met the Messiah. They come back and they meet Jesus, and Jesus stays with them for how long? 2 full days he stays. On the third day, he goes back to the Jews, and the Jews welcomed him. You understand? So every time on the third day, they're welcoming Jesus, because on the third day, they're going to welcome him. That's why God wants you to know 1,000, 2,000, 2 days have passed, 2017, 18, 19, 20, you're still on the early morning on the third day. You understand? You're early morning on the third day. So Jesus stayed and he preached to the Samaritans, who are what? Gentiles. And they all believed and many got saved, it says. Then he said, on the third day, I'm going to go back to my people now and hang out with them and see if they'll accept me. And he gets back and they welcomed him. So always understand the prophecy of the Bible and what it's telling you, because it's always talking about the same story. We talked on Sunday about Joseph and his wife, right?
Yeah.
Incredible understanding of Joseph and his wife. Because Joseph's wife was Asenath, and Asenath was the daughter of who? Of the priest of On. She was her and her father were into worshiping pagan gods. Yet the Pharaoh gave him Asenath to be his wife. It wasn't the Pharaoh's daughter, it was someone else's daughter who was the priest of Nun. He gave this Gentile bride to be his wife. And so when the famine is about to start, here is Joseph inside of the castle with his brand new Gentile bride, right? But he's king. He's second in charge over all of Egypt. And what just started? A famine. And so now him and his wife are going to be safe and secure for how long? 7 years living together, eating well in the palace. And it says in the scripture, the whole world had to come to Egypt to get food. Okay? Everybody had to come to Egypt to get food. That means that the name that he gave to Joseph was a perfect name. And the name he gave to him meant 3 things. You are the savior of the world. You're the revealer of secrets. And I forget the third one. But here you see, as we went through Sunday, that the whole story was about who? Jesus. The whole Bible is about Jesus. I'm not the first to discover this. Jesus said it himself. He said the volume of the scripture is about me and my story. And once you see how simple it is. Now, I'm saying this because I want you guys to understand. There is no such thing. We got a group called pre-wrath. You know what pre-wrath is? It means that you're going to escape the first 3.5 years. I mean, you're going to escape the last 3.5 years. But the first 3.5, you're going to have to figure out whether you want to take the vaccine or not. You know what I mean? So this is the situation that people who preach pre-wrath rapture teach. Okay, that the first 3.5 years is going to be peace and the Antichrist is going to treat us all really good, right? Really? Which the Bible goes, that's not happening, right? So, because from the moment he goes out to conquer. Now, I want us to, you have a question?
Is that the same as mid-trip?
Huh? Mid-trip, yes. Mid-trip and pre-wrath is the same thing. Because what they say is, that's a good question. Because what they say is, the real wrath doesn't happen till 3.5 years into the tribulation. So therefore, we're going to be here the first 3.5, and then the last 3.5, he's going to rapture us out, and we'll have a 3.5-day honeymoon in Catalina, and we'll get back. You know, we won't get 7 full days, right?
Right.
Now, why is this a lie?
The Bible said it goes against the Bible.
Why does it go against the Bible? Does the Bible have a tradition of a wedding feast for the bride?
7 days.
It is always 7 days, okay? Jacob had to give Leah her full 7 days before he could work an additional 7 years to get Rachel, right? But the Bible has a 7-year tribulation called the time of Jacob's trouble. The Antichrist signs a covenant for how long? 7 years. In the middle of the 7 years, Daniel says, right? In the middle of the 7 years, he stops the sacrifices, and he goes into the temple and declares to the Jews that he's God, right? But his covenant with the many is how long? 7 years. You understand? There is no such thing as a 3.5-year tribulation. There's no such thing as not giving the bride any any 7-year celebration, okay? Because some people think like Jesus is going to come back. When he comes back, we'll still be here going, oh God, where you been? It's 7 years, you know, and like, thanks for saving us right away. I'm really hungry and thirsty and people have been beating on me. Johnny got his head shot cut off. You know, this is, people think that like this is the bride of Christ, okay? So God pre-tells us the whole story before we get there so that we understand the structure of how things are going to be, so that when liars get a YouTube and they start telling you about the pre-wrath and the 3.5 years and, oh, we're not going to the very end because Matthew says at the end of the tribulation, that's when he collected the elect. The elect are the Jews.
Right.
Okay? So when we're doing this, I want us to understand God's plan and not get caught up with people. Sometimes Christians just don't have any understanding because nobody has taught them. Chuck Missler taught pre-trib the best that I've ever heard, okay? He will distinguish between the difference between the second coming and the rapture. And it will always have a distinction of 7 years, okay? So now, after saying all of that, I just want us to go to the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. Who's... Even one of our members today, Pastor Ben, she sent me a thing about the vaccine. She said, hey, Pastor Sandy, the vaccine says that the people are getting the shot in their shoulder, you know, in their arm, right? And he says, the word yad in Hebrew doesn't just mean hand, it means the whole arm, right? And I told her, you're absolutely right. That is absolutely right. But I'm like, but it's just not a word search, because I believe that they're going to put the chip in your hand or in your forehead. I don't know if the whole right arm, but I wanted to give her an understanding where that came from, okay? And where did that come from? Exodus chapter 17. In Exodus chapter 17, Moses is told to go to a mountain area, and Moses is on the mountain area, and this mountain area is called Calvary. He's up there on the mountain, and he says, I want you to fight against the Amalekites. He says, hold up your hands, and as long as you keep your hands held up, you're going to win the fight against the Amalekites. But as soon as you put your hands down, you're going to start losing the fight. So Moses had his hands up. And then he said, they got tired. Who has ever got tired of doing this? Huh? But if you have to do this, why does he have him on Calvary standing like this? And then he says, he's having problems holding his hand up. I want one guy to be over here and help him hold that one up, and one guy over here to help him hold that hand up so that he keeps his hands out. So now you got three people on the same mountain that Jesus is going to be on. And one of them has hands out like a cross. So now, why did God tell us that? He was telling us because this is going to be the future. So if you don't understand the Bible, you're not going to understand that none of it is about what you're reading. It's all about Jesus, okay? And so, here, let's get to this, because now I'm getting all anxious. Don't get, okay, because I knew Pastor Ben was going to say that. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 6. Okay. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 6, you have to understand, first of all, that the church already left in Revelation chapter 4. Okay? Revelation chapter 4, it says, after this I looked, and before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this, after the churches, right? So he's in heaven, and when he gets to heaven, what does John see? Seven lampstands in heaven, standing on a sea of glass. So now you have to go back to Revelation 1, where it says that the seven lampstands are the churches. So you don't have any confusion that now you're in heaven, and now you see the seven lampstands and they're in heaven. So the church is in heaven in chapter 4, okay? Now he's in heaven. You see this wonderful crowning ceremony where the 24 elders take off their crowns and throw them at Jesus' feet. And so you have this crowning ceremony. Then you have this time where John now sees the title deed for the earth, and he's asking, who can open this title deed? Because only the Redeemer can open a title deed. And so if you haven't paid for it, you can't open it. Now Jesus is about to open the title deed, because the event where he's going to go back and save the Jewish people and for the tribulation to start is about to start. But when does it start? As soon as he begins to open the title deed. From the first seal to the seventh seal is the full 7 years of tribulation, okay? So here it is. Now watch this, because is going to tell you the exact same thing that Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice, come. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow. Okay? Now, that's a Greek word called takia, which means an agreement, an understand, an agreement. Okay? So he goes out, and he's on a white horse, and he has a bow with him, which is a covenant. Okay? He has this agreement with him, and he's going to earth. Let's see why he's going to earth. It says, I looked, and there before me was a white horse, and his rider had a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out like a conqueror bent on conquest. So now he has a crown on his head, and he's on a white horse, and he's going out, and he has a covenant, and he's taking it to the earth. What's the covenant? What does the Daniel chapter 9 say? He will confirm a covenant with the many for 7 years. Why is he on a white horse? Because when Jesus comes back, he's going to be on a white horse. Why does he have a crown on his head? Because he's pretending to be a king over the whole world. Remember all of the other typologies of Samuel, of Solomon, that Ishbosheth made himself king. The Antichrist is making himself king of the whole world, and he will be king of the whole world until David came back and beat up Ishbosheth and cut off his head, right? Antichrist will be king for 7 years until Jesus comes back and takes his head off and crushes his head. You understand? So in the beginning of chapter 6, you're seeing the same thing as Daniel. You have a covenant. You have a false king. He's going out to conquer, okay? The church is already gone. That's the beautiful thing that this Bible is telling you. The church is already gone. We don't care. You understand? Who's the Antichrist? Okay. Don't care. I'm on my honeymoon. Don't care. Don't want to know. Don't have to know. You understand? Amen. When we all get on the horse and go back, that's when we'll find out who it was. Because it will be a was when we get back. You understand? So, it says here, I looked and there before me was a white horse that rider had a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. Then another horse came out, fiery red, and his rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. Okay? So now you have a war breaking out. Okay? Verse 5, when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come, and I looked, and there before me was a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And then I heard the sound like a voice among the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wage. And 3 quarts of barley for a day's wage, and do not damage the oil and the wine. So what's going on here?
Famine.
Inflation and famine is starting. Now remember, in Egypt, what was going on, right?
Famine.
Food was expensive. A matter of fact, when people ran out of money, you know what they did in Egypt? He said, once they ran out of money, he said, okay, then give us your cows and your horses and your sheep, and we'll give you food. That's a lot of money to eat. I'm going to give you my horse stable for a meal, and now I got to come back next week to get another meal?
Right.
So then after they gave him all the cattle, he said, well, sign over ownership of your land to me, and I'll give you food. And it said the whole world was going to Egypt to eat. That means Joseph saved the whole world from starving to death. Joseph became the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life.
Yes.
And so the whole world is going to have to come. Okay, now, as we continue reading, it says, then I heard what sound like a voice among the four living creatures said, no, I read that. Verse 7. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures say, come. I looked, and there before me was a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, plague, which is disease, and by the wild beast of the earth. You hear that? So this is what's going on the earth, okay? Meanwhile, the bride of Christ is running around crazy going, the guy told me he was coming back to marry me. That's what people are telling you. That you're going to see all this. You're going through this. When the whole Bible says, you that you may escape from all that is about to happen. You understand?
Yeah.
Joseph escaped the whole 7 years.
Yeah.
Joseph's bride escaped the whole 7 years. You understand? So we're not talking about a mid-trib rescue. We're talking about not even seeing the tribulation. A matter of fact, the scripture says, not only do we not see it, we're gone 6 months before it even starts. And that's the blessed hope that God is giving you. That's why, it's not the reason why, but I hold on to the hope that God has given us. It's not the reason why. I hold on to Christ because I'm saved.
Amen.
And that to me is a serious miracle.
5 minutes, man.
And let's finish. I almost got talking about me. Lord, like, stop it. Okay, here we go. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God. They're under the altar. Okay, and it says, and the testimony that they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth? Now you have a different type of beast that's on the earth. The inhabitants mean those who have been cast down from heaven. Because there was a war in the middle of the tribulation. And the demons were, the fallen angels were cast down to the earth. And Satan was cast down to the earth, okay? So he says, how long until the judgment of the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brethren who were killed as they had been killed was complete. I watched as he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun was black, like sackcloth, and made of goat's hair, and the whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs dropped from the fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll. That means Jesus is about to come.
Yeah.
Rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed. The sky rolled back. Listen, I keep telling you, every day you walk out, you're looking at a tallit. You're looking at a blue tallit. It is covering, okay? But one day, that sky's got to roll back, and look what they see when the sky rolls back. It says, the kings of the earth and the princes and generals and rich men and the mighty and every slave and every free man hid in caves among the rocks of the mountain, and they called out to the mountains, and the rocks fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne. They can see the throne. Sky's been rolled back. And from the wrath of the Lamb, they're scared of the wrath of a, you ever seen a mad lamb? They're not scared of a lamb. They're seeing the other side of the lamb.
Yep.
The flip side is a lion. Okay? So it says, for the great day of the Lord has come. Who can stand? Wow. So understand that the future, the typologies, and everything in Scripture is telling you, because God doesn't want you to be blind of the plan. It's great to be religious and stop sinning, but it's more incredible to be a part of a plan, to be on the team, to say, this is my part. To encourage my brothers and sisters that we've got somewhere to go, that we've got to leave here. We're getting out. We'll come back later. We'll come back and we'll reign and rule with Christ. We've got a plan. You're not in this just to be a good Christian. You're in this because you're a part of a war. Yeah. So let's fight the battle against sin, okay, while we're here. Let's try to get others saved while we're here. We're part of the battle. We're part of a war. And so we should be invested into this. I see my wife just praying for people all the time. And I say, I'm just so proud sometimes. I'm like, she's just like a little, where did this soldier come from? You know what I mean? Where did this soldier come from that's praying for everybody and pulling people aside? I'm looking at she brought her whole family here. You know what I mean? She's like, I'm at war. I'm trying to get my family saved before this happens, right? All of these things are happening because we are active in a war. And if you're not fighting against sin and you're just, you've made a peace with sin, you're not in the war anymore. So there is a plan. We're leaving. You see what the enemy's doing. He has a biological weapon released on the whole world. And Biden said he's going to make sure that every American gets vaccinated. Not this one. I'll bop him before I get one. No. I'm telling the whole Christian community, we need to have a day that says, no way are we taking an mRNA, and it's not a vaccine. It is a weapon to destroy human beings. Within a year, everybody, the doctor said, will die from the vaccine. Praise God. We'll talk tomorrow morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Greg?